Hello, everyone. Welcome to Drum Key. This is a podcast where we talk about, or we're going to talk about, we think we're going to be talking about everything drums, drummers, and drum industry. We are recording live to tape inside of our home away from home here at Drums Etc., the Drummers Pro Shop in beautiful Lancaster, PA.
You're taking all of my...
Those are all your slogans?
Those are all my slogans. All right.
All right, well, wait until I introduce
you're,
you.
You're welcome to have them, though.
I'm Adam Steck. This is my co-host, Mr. Sean Groff.
I think you're my co-host, but...
Adam Steck, Sean Groff's co-host. He is the big man on top, to my left, your screen right. This is where I ask you how you're doing. How are you doing, Sean?
I am doing fabulous. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I was just
Saturday.
It is Saturday.
It's beautiful. We're in a drum store. Life is good.
Yeah. What could be better? Yeah. Coming in on your day off. What could be better?
I'm never off.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
I'm always on.
Always thinking about what's going on. So the basic premise, just to let everyone know, the concept is the first part of the show is going to be me and Sean talking shop, talking about gear, talking about the drum industry, which from all my research, I haven't seen anyone really talk about the retail side of things, about how it all works. I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about the drum industry in general. Everyone thinks it's huge, different things like that we'll get into. It's a real intimate, small group of people relatively compared to other things. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun getting into that sort of thing. Today's guest, we have a guest. So the second portion of the show is going to be an interview with Miss Christy Engel, which she doesn't like when people say Miss. Mrs. Christy Engel. She is married. Sorry, everyone out there. She is married. Don't get any ideas. She is the drummer for Hiding Scarlet, Bobby Gentillo. And Dime Store Dolls, which is a rad new band you should check out. Yep. If you're in the Lancaster area, check out all of their... We'll link. We can link things. We'll link their information in the description.
They've played
the
every club in town.
All three of them. They've played all three.
Sure.
All three of them. She's also a teacher at Drums Etc., which is the drum shop we are recording live to tape inside of. So she's a great person to talk to about everything drums. She's got a really cool... origin story, which is what I'm going to be calling things because I feel like drummers are superheroes. But before we get to that, we are going to go through a bunch of these fun little segments that we're trying out. Any feedback that you have for the segments or anything you'd like to contribute, I will also link a Discord community below that you can go and type in ideas for topics. Of course, everywhere we're going to post this, just throw your comments down there and I'll check them out. But we're going to jump to our first segment called Crank It Up, Turn It Down. All right, so Crank It Up, Turn It Down. In this segment, I will read controversial drum habits to get Sean's opinion. If he digs it, he can say I dig it if he wants, but the proper thing to say is crank it up.
Crank it up.
Turn it up to 11 if you really love it.
Crank
like
it
if it's
up.
Your favorite thing, say crank it up to 11. And then if he's not interested, he'll turn it down. So we're going to start with some pretty classic drum things. These ideas came from me the other day at work. These are things that I had talks with on social, in store, different things like that, where people feel really strongly about them for some reason. There's no wrong or right. I feel like that's what this is going to boil down to. But we want to know your opinion because you've been doing this a long time. So the first thing is muffling your bass drum with a pillow, putting a pillow in your bass drum. Crank it up, turn it down. How do you feel?
I'm going to say crank it up. Yep.
It's, why?
Again, it is opinion. I think that in some cases, having your bass drum wide open is awesome. In some cases, you need to muffle it. I think there are better ways to muffle your bass drum than a pillow, but a pillow is a quick, easy, time-tested way to muffle your bass drum without a lot of fuss. Sometimes you need to really calm that bass drum down a little bit. Maybe you want your bass drum to be a little more punchy and not so ringy and such, and you need it a little bit more controlled. For a certain situation. So throwing a pillow in there is a quick, easy way to manage the overall resonance of your bass drum. And I think that I'm going to say crank it up. There's nothing wrong with putting a pillow in your bass drum if you need a little more punch.
Mm-hmm. As long, I would say, the only thing that's important is that it's not a gnarly, used, gross pillow.
That
because,
is true.
Dude, the amount of times that we get a used drum set in here.
Very true.
And we have to just, like, clean it up.
Oh,
there's always
horrible.
The grossest, gnarliest blanket or sheet.
Yeah. And, you know, when I say,
stained
hey,
pillow.
Crank it up. You know, I don't mean, oh, let's, you know, stuff it full of junk and crap and all that
right.
kind of stuff, or keep
right.
it in there forever. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's easy and effective just, you know, throw that pillow in there and calm the bass drum down a little bit. There are better ways to do it. EQ pad, the Kick Pro, you know, an Evans E-Med or Super Kick is one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
bass drum heads.
Mm-hmm.
So
start with the heads,
yeah,
right?
Start with the heads. Get a good head. But sometimes in certain situations, you just need to throw a pillow in there. It's fine.
Cranking it up.
Crank it up. It's effective.
All right.
It's very effective.
Here's one that I think you're going to turn down, but I'm not sure.
You think?
Drum racks.
You think you know me.
What's your opinion on the drum rack? Crank it up or turn it down, Sean?
Wow. Okay.
The
so
drum
I
rack.
I
need you to be honest.
I have to
here.
Go there. I'm going to say, oh, my gosh. Got me on the spot here.
Listen, this is not to create enemies. This is
oh,
to give
no.
this is an opinion thing. Don't worry. Don't worry. We will protect you. They're going to have Goody to deal with. They have Goody to deal with.
The drum police aren't going to come
the
and
drum
arrest
police?
Me.
Okay. No.
Very good.
No.
Turn it down. I'm not a fan of drum racks. I think less is more in a lot of cases. But you know, to each their own, I guess.
Turn it down.
Yeah.
I knew I'd get you.
I had to be honest.
yep.
I'm not a fan of drum racks.
Yeah.
But in, you know, certain situations, they're
well,
they're
I'll good. Tell you, I played a drum rack at one time. Is when I first, when after I got my first drum set, came to drums, etc. But I had saved up from, like, mowing money and this and that, like, $700, which is a lot for a kid. Like, and it was, I was able, thankful, and I was able to borrow a drum set from my uncle, who's a drummer. He's the guy who, you know, really got me started in that regard, equipment wise. And so I had drums to play, so I was good.
Yeah.
So I was able to save my money, save up, came in, got a kit, and you guys were trying to move a Ludwig Epic at the time, and it was like a 7-piece kit. I wasn't planning on that, but I got all the drums, and
yeah.
not knowing anything necessarily.
Heck of a deal, I remember.
Heck of a deal. But I was like, well, I got to use them all. So I had all these drums on stands, and it sucked. And I was like, ah,
yeah.
oh, here's the solution, the drum rack, right?
Right.
So by the time before I figured out that you don't need to play every drum you have, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Not necessarily that whole thing. Before I got my feet wet, I should say, I was carrying this thing around. I had to borrow a minivan. I had a rack, all the drums like bungeed together, as many cymbals as I could. Like, it was wild. Like, it was like a van just for my drums. Like, the guys couldn't fit anything else in it. And anyway, settled. Now I play a 4-piece kit. So, but
yeah, I mean,
but the drum rack thing, like, it serves a purpose if you're trying to do that whole thing. But I feel like they always end up in someone's basement,
sure.
which is fine.
Right.
Like, just to hold everything.
And I think
but the gigging drummer typically doesn't rock that setup.
Not normally, not usually. It's effective for, you know, if you have a lot of drums and all that kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But most gigging drummers tend to keep it very simple and get the most out of the least amount of equipment because we're hauling it around.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
if it's, you know, you're on tour and you're playing in Rush and you're Neil Peart and you have a whole show dedicated to, you know, your drum solo and hitting 300 drums and you have a whole electronic set with your rack, then, you know, it's
yeah,
it's appropriate.
And a guy to set it all up.
It's very appropriate. But most drummers that you know, want a rack tend to have a 5-piece set anyway and
mm-hmm.
think that that's the solution to a lot of problems, but it tends to, you know, create more problems than anything else.
All right, we got to crank one, crank it up, one, turn it down. Sounds good. That's a good start. That's a lot of fun to talk about that kind of thing. But let's pop into our next segment. We got to try a whole bunch, see what sticks. This one is called Drum Industry News. All right. Still jamming. So this segment, trying to shed light on some of the facets of the drum industry that folks might not be aware of.
I might not be aware of it.
You might. Well, I think you're aware of these. I think you're aware of these topics. It could be. It could be. Hey. Yeah, I know. I know. You have no idea what's going on. That's the perfect. That's the beauty of it. So, the way that drum companies, and we're talking like drum manufacturers, stick manufacturers, basically anyone that makes products that you would purchase for your drum set or your drum setup, the way that these companies are structured isn't as simple as it used to be. A lot of them started out as like simple small businesses. They sell stuff directly to stores who sell them to you or directly to people. But now it's like very convoluted. There's all sorts of these what we refer to as like parent companies that technically own other brands. You know, there's different structures for their businesses. The reason I bring this up, the technical news, is that recently it was announced that Roland, who makes electronic drums and all sorts of electronic gear and stuff, is now the purchased DW Drums, essentially, which is one of the premier drum companies out there as far as taking it the whole way from, you know, the wood, creating the drum, having their own hardware. You know what I mean? This isn't a fly-by-night custom company that just takes specific shells and, like, throws a fancy wrap on it. They do the whole thing. You know, complete drum makers.
Innovate.
Right. So now this larger corporation comes in, which in this case is from the music world, which is interesting, and purchases this company. Mm-hmm. I've seen this happen as far as like the parent company stepping in type scenario where someone buys someone else two or three times in the past 7 or 8 years. You've seen it a lot more than me, though.
I've seen it happen, yeah.
What happens? I think everyone's thinking, what's going to happen to my drums? What's going to happen to Drum Workshop? What's going to happen to Roland? What have you seen happen when this kind of thing goes down?
I've never seen anything quite like this, but I've seen, you know, your Fender come in and buy different distribution companies that cater to drummers and drum shops, and you know they distributed different drumming products. And as the time went on, after you know Guitar Company, I guess, would come in and do that, their focus wasn't on drums as they once were. Mm-hmm. And Roland, you know, actually isn't an electronic drum company either.
Right.
So they probably sell more keyboards than drums.
Right.
I do believe. So it'd be interesting. I've never seen anything good come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, being a retail shop, you know, when it becomes too corporate and an outsider comes in, they tend to change things to best suit their needs.
Right.
They're not really thinking about, you know, us or anything else as on a big scale like that. And, you know, you're used to dealing with a company that you know, acts and works a certain way. And then another company comes in and that all changes for better or worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I've seen it a couple different ways, just thinking of acquisitions and different things like that. Like sometimes when it's someone you don't – yikes. When it's – hang on a second.
I didn't touch it. Wasn't me.
There we go.
Wasn't me this time.
I got it to go away. I've seen it a couple different ways. I've seen it where a company comes in and all of a sudden you start to see less and less cool products. You get to see like the dumbed down version of a company.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen because I think that DW is such a huge – is one of the leaders really in the drum industry. I imagine – and we don't know any details about contracts or things. I imagine they're basically like, give us autonomy and then we'll do collaborations, which is what I anticipate happening. But we'll see. You know, I
hope so. I hope nothing but good comes out of
right,
this.
Right. My guess is it'll be either good or nothing. You won't even know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't see something like detrimental happening.
Yeah. Kind of like the Zildjian Vic Firth thing.
Yeah.
Like you kind of don't even
know. I'll bet you within the next few months or year, I should give it a year because time's wonky.
I think that it was more of a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was really hard to talk to anyone from Vic Firth, you know, back in the – now, you know, Zildjian has things a little more streamlined with their customer service. So that –
Yeah, that's great. Great better. Example of a company coming in and prioritizing what – you know, keeping what worked and
–
and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and moving forward. Awesome. Well, yeah, I think that again, it's happened so many different ways that we're just gonna have to wait and see. There's nothing we can do about it.
Should be interesting.
Besides talk about it. I think it's important to not jump to conclusions, do this, do that. You know what I mean? We've got guys that come in and they'll state something like it's factual.
Sure.
And then try to get your reaction. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the most important thing to do is to be like, yeah, we can have these casual conversations about it, but not jump to any conclusions. Like, we're going to see what shakes out. There's going to be some announcement. They're coming out with this. And we're going to see what shakes out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's rad. So just a little.
Crank it up. Oh, never mind. Excuse me.
Crank it up.
We're on to something different.
All right. And speaking of something different, let's move on to something different entirely. Let's jump into our Hall of Fame section.
Yes.
All right. You just get a little taste of the groove, and then it goes away.
I love it.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. These songs are – well, we're not going to talk about the song. So, Hall of Fame. Naturally, we are big into drum gear. We are drum gear nerds by occupation in addition to choice, really. But, you know what I mean? Just being around it, seeing it. So, my idea was to highlight a product, you know, a specific product that's been around forever, maybe has impacted something, what I like to consider being a game changer. Product that is like changed the game in some way or another and will likely stick around forever in some form or another.
In this case, stick around, definitely.
Oh, God. I didn't try it. But we're going to talk about this guy. Our first, well, instead of just highlighting it, I thought all these award shows and things are all made up anyway. It's all phony. Someone just decided that their opinion matters. So we are going to start our own Hall of Fame.
And our opinion matters
because we said so. We've got microphones. That's all it takes. So we are starting the Drum Key Hall of Fame. And the first inductee into the Drum Key Hall of Fame is...
Here it comes.
Moongel. That's right. It's not...
That's
thank
right.
you, studio audience.
Moongel.
It is... it's not glamorous. There's nothing about it that's super attractive. It's not a brand new drum. It's nothing with chrome on it. It's just... A little
nothing high tech.
It's just a little plastic jar with these little sticky squares inside of it.
Right.
But if somehow you don't know what Moongel is, Moongel comes in a 6-pack. These little blue squares. We'll link information about it if you want below. And you stick them on your drums just to control the overtones. You know, in addition to all the other gadgets and gizmos that are out there, this is very common. Very common. We talk about Moongel all the time because it's mainly you're yelling at me because we need to get more in stock.
We constantly sell and are out of Moongel, it feels like. Over the years, all the time, we're constantly out of Moongel. Always. And it frustrates me. You've heard the expression... These things sell like hotcakes. Well, around here, we say this sells like Moongel because Moongel sells. It's every other customer walking through the door, sticks, drum heads, they need some parts or whatever else, they'll grab a set of Moongel too. They'll always grab the Moongel.
Yeah.
It's.
And before you know it, we're out of it.
Yeah, before
we've,
we know it.
We've
yeah,
got we've 20 got packs sitting out there, we'll and out. I'm considering us out of it. We're essentially out of it because that's you're going to turn around. In fact, when we're done shooting this, we walk out there, but it's all gone. I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One less because I think I need to pick up a new pack today. Too.
Well, that, you, maybe you could, maybe this is your gift. This is like they give
in,
out
clear and blue.
Clear and blue.
Clear and blue.
Clear and blue. Keeping it simple.
Yeah. Blue is the original, and now you can get it in clear.
Right. But I think they should stop. Formula. I think they should stop. I think that's the key to lasting forever.
Yeah.
There are a lot of new companies that come out with gadgets and gizmos. They'll get like the NAMM award for best new whatchamacallit or whoozy what's it. And they immediately are like, here's 20 colors.
Too much. It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much. So just stick. Keep it simple. I think that's our advice. If anyone from the industry, it's
don't Moongel guys.
How long has Moongel been around?
Don't come out with. green.
Don't do it.
What's another color? Red and green.
I get the clear just because it is a color, and for the guys that are super aesthetic driven, like,
I think clear makes total sense.
Clear makes sense.
Clear and blue.
Clear is almost like going backwards. If they had started with the clear and they came out with a blue, I'd be like, why did they come out with the blue? But it's so iconic. People come in. They don't say, I want moon gel all the time. Sometimes it's, what are those blue sticky things?
That's it.
I need those blue sticky.
Or they might not even realize what they just want to control the overtone of their drums and such.
That's why we always have a pack busted out.
Yeah.
Demo.
It's great. It's, just demo what the moon gel does.
Right.
And it's easy.
Very easy. Awesome. So this is our number one Hall of Fame.
Has to be.
We talked about this beforehand. We didn't talk about everything, but we talked about this, and you're like, it's gotta be.
God.
Moon gel.
Right. You know, what else could it possibly be? There will be other.
There'll be others. Don't say anything now.
Because definitely not. But you know, the first thing that comes to mind is
first is first. Let's get it. Let's get it out.
It just has to be. Here we are. You know, come on.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything. I think we've talked already way too much about sticky little blue things you stick on your drums. But, yeah, let's go into our next segment. Quick question. All right. So, you know what this is inspired by. Without fail, if a customer walks into the store and says, hey, quick question. It will inevitably not be quick.
It's never quick.
It's never been quick. No. It will never be quick.
Quick question for you.
If you want a simple answer to something, don't say the words quick question, or it will just – the universe will make it more complicated.
That's true.
It will – and my the funniest thing to me is when they say quick question, and it's not – most of these questions, they expect a singular answer. And 9 times out of 10, we're just trying to creatively say it depends differently. Because so much about drumming is subjective. It's about opinion. It's based on what you want to hear. It's based on what you want to see. It's like it's hard to give a straight answer.
Yeah.
There are a few questions that I could give a straight answer, but it's never what the quick question was asked. So I thought we'd start real vague.
Quick question.
Quick question, Sean.
Yes.
What drum set's best? Like that, right? Right?
Which
like,
one?
I could see you go into like, oh.
I'm like, I can't just answer that. But sometimes I fight myself with that and I want to give an answer. But inevitably, that creates more. It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
Now you're going to. And I love talking about this stuff, but now you have to justify what you just said. And it's still subjective in that sense. So that's a tough one because it's real broad question. Real big.
Yeah. And the truthful answer is it depends, but we're going to get into more of the details besides that, because the number one thing that happens if someone asks me a broad question like this is I follow up with asking them like 10, 15 questions without it being like just berating them with just, I need all this. I need to input all this data to give you an answer to your question is basically what's going on. That's basically what's happening. So my first go-to is okay, we need to figure out what experience this person has. If it's for the person I'm talking to, what their budget is a very, very important question. And it's one of those things that it's kind of hard to be candid about. And I remember when I first started working just the retail at the retail shop, I was like nervous. I was nervous to ask people what their budget is, but realistically, you kind of need to know that pretty early on, or at least feel the person out, which I didn't kind of have that emotional intelligence starting off. I'm starting to get better at that.
Wisdom.
But it comes with time for sure, and I settled into it eventually.
Well,
but what are we working with as far as budget? Are you thinking entry level? Are you thinking, you know what I mean? And then you just kind of pick their brain, get started, it gives you a starting point.
Sure.
Because if someone comes in and they expect to get a brand new drum set with cymbals at a professional level for $100, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. And you talking to them for a half hour or whatever about this high-end drum set when really they can't afford it is doing a disservice to them.
Yeah,
you know?
Have to qualify them. Yeah.
Right. And the crux to the it depends is the best value for a customer changes. It changes. And it changes even if we're talking this exact same customer 6 months. 6 months ago, someone comes in, they wanted to get a kit that included everything. Sure. You know, they got $900 to spend. You can get it done.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. Good quality, comes with some starter symbols. You can get it done, right?
Yep.
But since then, my answer has changed. Because some companies we won't get into crazy specifics here, but like one company I can think of, their entry level kit now is like upgraded. Like it's got better lugs, it's got better equipment, you know, the hardware that comes with it. And you're not going to read that anywhere. You're not going to read that anywhere that they changed the lugs slightly. But I know.
Yeah.
You know, the drum shops know, your local drum shop knows what they've changed. Another company, their competitor to that, or like even one step above that, the hardware pack that it comes with is way chintzier than it used to be. Right. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think those things are really important. That's why you go to your local drum shop and talk to someone.
Those are,
Wow.
Thanks. Well, you said it all.
I appreciate it. That's awesome.
I was like,
let me take a drink here. Sounds good.
Well, you kind of said that.
So what drum set is best? I think if you are thinking about asking that quick question, go to your drum shop and talk to them. Don't start off with that. Say, I don't know what I'm looking at, and admit that out of the gate. Mm-hmm. If you are a know-it-all type, meaning you like to know it all, not saying you're a know-it-all, but you like to do your research and that kind of thing, start your research at a drum shop. Don't start your research on drum blogs and forums, different things like that, because you could jump into a conversation that's intended for someone that is not the same customer that you are.
That's right.
That kind of thing. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Those are my two cents. This isn't a rant, I promise. This is supposed to be – man, these are the things we talk about all the time. Like, I wish we could just tell people this, and now we have a way of doing that.
Yes, I agree.
Where they can't interrupt us. We just keep talking.
Well, they can.
They could.
We could be interrupted.
Yeah. Yeah, I interrupted us earlier with my phone making weird feedback noise.
Sure, yeah.
But – let's quick talk about our guest. We're going to bring our guest on.
Yes.
We have two microphones. So that means that when we come back after the transition, one of us is going to be gone.
It's going to be me. I'll be gone.
I
have a lot more to say.
We'll
save that for another time.
We could do that. We could do the world's fastest rock, paper, scissors to determine who does the interview from this point on during the break.
I'm going to hand over the host duties to you for this.
All right. Okay, well, I appreciate that, boss.
I kind of enjoy being the color guy right now.
All right, color guy. All right, but we have an awesome guest, Christy Engel. She is a teacher here at Drums Etc. She plays in all sorts of bands. She's got some pretty awesome drums. I hope we get into that because her taste in drums is impeccable. I got to say, I personally would buy almost everything she does.
I actually did buy one of her old drum sets.
Yeah.
I own one of Christy's.
It's true.
Actually, I own Christy's first drum set. I own it. It's a Mapex.
You're right.
Voyager.
There you go. You always say
I always say Mapex Q-Series.
The Voyager.
And it just upsets Adam.
It
upsets
me.
It's a Voyager.
It's details.
It's a little bop set. it's just a nice little kind of throw around kit.
I hope we get into that because the drum set she plays now is just so cool. So cool. But no, great teacher. Before she gets on here, we can just talk a little bit about how awesome she is. She's got a whole bunch of students. We'll get into how she started out teaching and everything. She's doing a lot of good at the shop. She's a lot of fun to hang around with. And if you got anything else to say, we can just bring her on.
Let's bring her on. I'm interested in hearing what she has to say.
All right. Great. Let's get into it. Welcome to Drum Key.
Thank you.
You're our first guest.
I know. The first guest, the practice guest.
This is where you say it's a huge honor.
It's a huge honor to be here. I love being at the drum store.
The practice guest.
I love being at the drum store. This is one of my favorite places in the world. I'm happy to be here.
Why is it one of your favorite places in the world?
It's just, because I love drums. Because you guys are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Always a big help. It's just,
Yeah, it's a fun place.
It is a really fun
place. Before I worked at the shop, I very much idolized it like a candy store. Like a fun road trip. I mean, it was only a half hour from where I live, so it's not that far. But still, it's like in a direction I didn't go that often. You know what I mean? But it was like a fun, like, oh, we could go to the music shop, like AKA the drum shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's something fun about drums, and even, I don't know, it's kind of nice to see drums, even, you know, picture yourself like, oh, I wish I had that or do this, you know, not like that, not like idolizing it, but being like, I could see myself in that, you know, and just, and talk shop, I think, is a really important thing. Yeah. When you're a drummer, being able to talk about drums with other drummers is awesome, because it's Greek to anyone else in your band.
Yes, and it sure is.
And you've had some experience playing with two drummers, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
That is fun.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, God.
Because I haven't had that.
Yeah.
I had, like, an active gig, like, with multiple drummers. Yeah. Drummers. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with that is if you have two drummers, no one can be the one in, maybe in charge is the wrong word, but you can't both be showing off, I guess, is the thing. So you just have to be able to work really well with someone else.
Right.
It's really fun to play with two drummers. But it was because I played with people that were easy to play with, that weren't
huge
big show-offs and just trying to take everything for themselves.
Right, yeah. Right. You can't – you've got to consider that you're not the only one keeping time and adjust to that. Did you have a hard time with that? Like, did you lay back and try to jump in after they kind of got things going, or vice versa? Or – do you switch off the lead?
I think we were playing songs.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just a lot of listening, just to make sure that you're not stepping on anyone else's toes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I saw one of your shows with that album release show.
Right.
And you played with a couple different drummers that night. That was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. As a drummer, it's fun to watch multiple drummers play.
It's fun to play with multiple drummers, too, just because it doesn't happen that often.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
It's like watching a left-handed drummer or something like that.
That's hard. That makes my brain
You don't like that?
It makes my brain hurt.
I just think it's such a fresh thing. Like I watch it, I'm just like, wow. Like,
yeah, it is.
It is stimulating. Like, it's wild. So I get being like, whoa.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about how you first started at Drums Etc. Okay. Like, because you are now one of our, like, five established teachers.
Yeah.
You've got a full schedule right now, which is awesome. Killing it. I hope you get a lunch break in there somewhere. But the you started teaching at the shop before I started working at the shop.
Yeah.
So I don't know a ton about your first interaction with the drum shop, how that all went down.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start from the very beginning.
Go ahead. Your birthday is...
My birthday. Yeah, no. Yes. I was born... No. Okay. My very first interaction with the drum shop, I came with a family friend to buy a drum kit for my son, who was 6 years old at the time. And Sean sold me a Voyager.
The same Voyager.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
What foreshadowing earlier in the show.
So my son, being 6 years old, wasn't all that excited, you know, for very long. So then we have this drum kit sitting at my house, and I didn't have any musical experience at all, but I think drums are cool, and I thought that I was getting older and I should do something that was good for my brain. And learning an instrument is good
absolutely
for your brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also don't want to sit still and like play guitar. Like, I didn't want to do that. So I thought I could play drums.
Yeah.
So I remember coming into the drum store to sign up for drum lessons with Sean. Sean signed me up for my drum lessons.
Sean's the man.
He is the man. And I had three little kids at the time, and I just, like, not that much time. And I was like, can I come in every other week? And he's like, no, you have to come in every week. I was like, every week. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. So I signed up for drum lessons with Rick Hamilton. And I fell in love with the drums right away playing, which is surprising, because I don't like a ton of things, and I'll quit something if I don't like it.
Right.
Like, immediately.
Right.
I'm not watching a movie I don't like. I'm not reading books I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm not doing an activity I don't want to do.
Pull the ripcord.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right away. Like, this is stupid. I don't like this anyway. But drums,
well,
I
we're,
really love.
Well, we're glad to have you in the drumming community on behalf of us drummers.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad you chose us.
Yeah. So I loved it right away. And I played for, I don't remember when I started teaching. Here's the thing. When I don't remember something, I ask Sean. Do you remember when I started teaching? You don't remember that?
I know it was before 2014.
Okay.
Okay. Because that's when I showed up.
Before 2014, I started teaching. And that was on recommendation. Rick?
I actually, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Maybe 2012?
Maybe.
Was it?
2012? 2012. Okay. So in that time,
Yeah.
You picked it up and...
Yeah, I thought, I was taking lessons, I think, on a Wednesday, and I thought, I love being at the drum store. I was like, yeah, I could teach some lessons.
Yeah.
I'll teach some lessons. And it's a good way, teaching is a good way to practice your own stuff anyway. It's great. I'm constantly going over things when I'm teaching. So it's like learning
Putting in your hours while you're making money doing it. And
Right. So I thought I would start out teaching. I helped with the Special Olympics for a really long time, and I thought I'd start out teaching people who had special needs, because I really like – I still do that with lessons. I think everybody learns differently.
Right.
So you have to kind of tailor your lessons to
the person. Of course.
So I started that way, and then I thought I'd only have a couple lessons, like, here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys just kept, like, putting people on my day.
Hey. That's what we do.
Yeah, so I teach a lot of female students. Kids and adults. I have some guys too, but adults are really fun to teach. If there's any adults out there that want to take lessons, it's super fun because they recognize the value that they're paying for something, so they might
practice. Right, so they put time in more. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they put time in, so it's fun. It's fun to watch students get better over time.
Yeah. So you get this teaching gig going.
Uh-huh.
At this time, are you gigging? Are you playing in bands?
At this time, I was playing at church.
Okay.
Which church is a great place to learn to play with of other people, and you learn something different each week.
Yeah, there's usually decent gear that you don't have to move.
Right.
It's
there. You don't have to move it. Yeah. So I was playing at church at that time, and actually one of my students. The way I got into playing in a band was I had a student and her dad asked if I was playing with anyone because his band needed a drummer. And so that's how I started in a band. I didn't know what I was doing. It was so scary.
No one does when they start anything. No.
I still don't know, but now I realize that's okay. But
you realize no one else knows what they're doing either.
But I thought
to a certain level. Like,
I thought
for sure.
Everybody knew what they were doing. So there, I spent a couple years, I think, pretending I knew what I was doing and just
internally
panicking and just doing what I could. And I would come in to the drum store and be like, what do I do? Like, help me.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean,
had people I could talk to.
Right. I was going to say, having an instructor to talk to, having folks at the drum shop to talk to is important. The drumming community, from my experience, has been nothing but encouraging. You know, I'm not saying that everyone who's part of the drum community has all of the answers for you. Everyone has their own path and everything like that. But if you're struggling with a specific aspect, if nothing else, you can get input on, hey, how'd you do it? How'd you deal with this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That sort of thing. So,
definitely.
Yeah, it's a very, very awesome resource. So you're in an interesting position, similar to our other teachers, where you not only teach, but you also gig. You're a gigging teacher, which is the term that I've started to coin. I wrote it out the other day in one of the posts, and I was like, all of our teachers are gigging drummers. They're actively involved in bands. Mm-hmm. They've been in the industry for some amount of time, you know what I mean, a decent amount of time at least. And they've also, I think, to the best of my knowledge, they've all recorded stuff. They've all done studio work of some degree, whether it's home studio or professional studio, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So having a teacher, having someone as a resource that's experienced all of these things is I think extra valuable when you're a student, like you were coming into Rick and being like, hey, how do I do this? He had an answer for you. You know what I mean? So you've become this awesome resource. What do you get out of each aspect of it? Would you rather teach all day long, or would you rather gig, or would you rather record? Is there something about the differences between them that you value differently, or?
No, I think they all work together. Like, I don't think there's one that I could pick that I would only want to do exclusively. Because I can sit in a room by myself and work on stuff like books all day long.
Well, there's practicing.
Yeah.
You get enjoyment out of practicing.
Yes.
And I think
I love to practice.
That's not everyone. That's not me.
No.
You know that's not me.
I know. You should practice.
I know. If I enjoyed it more, I would definitely put in some more time. And I think that that's something that probably there's certain thresholds that you reach where with it developing a particular skill or what not. When you first start out, you're going to be terrible.
Right.
You know, and I forget who said it, but Sean's always quoting things. Practice should never sound good.
That came from somewhere.
That came from somewhere.
Yeah, in here. It came from somewhere.
It came from somewhere else. I later originated it.
Originated, yeah.
It's your
Wayne Gretzky, yeah. Michael Scott.
I tell that to my students.
Yeah. Practice should it shouldn't sound good because you're truly working on something that you have not mastered yet. You know, it's not a jam session. It's not just playing along with music. That's important. Right. That should be part of your routine.
Yeah.
But practice should not necessarily sound good. Right. And there's a certain frustration when you're first getting started with a skill that you're just like, I'm never going to get this.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that first step? Because initially, it's a little bit deterring.
It is. I think it just takes time. I don't think there's any way to rush it, to rush getting through learning things and that feeling. Because I remember feeling that a lot. I would be practicing something or want to learn something and tell myself, I'll never get this. I'll never, ever get it. And then suddenly you get it. You're like, oh, okay. And now I don't think that anymore. Like some things are hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I never think I'll never get it. Sometimes I think I don't think I care enough to to do this.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
I don't think I can't do it. I just think if I care, if I want to do it enough, I'll work on it.
Yeah.
So.
Don't worry about that. That's just my phone. It's making noise, so I threw it on the floor.
That's perfect.
It's just a glass screen that I just chucked on the floor. Yeah. I tried to slow it down by hitting my shoe, but I propelled it further into the wall. We're also going to have a GoFundMe in the description for a new phone screen for me.
Yeah.
We're going to put that. No, we're not going to do that. Yeah. You're doing all these things at once, which is awesome. But just quick shout out to the fact that this is not your full-time gig. Mm-mm. This is like you'd probably consider yourself a hobbyist, which is wild because of the amount of time you put into this, teaching, practicing, rehearsing, gigging. And I think that a lot of people – after listening to the first part of this, would probably anticipate, be like, oh, that's her gig. That's how she does things. She's got all these different elements. She's got teaching. She's got income off on the side from this, from that. And, like, that's what she does. But you're doing this in addition to a normal job.
Right. This is – I would consider it a hobby, but it's – I spend every second of my free time. It's drums. It's terrible to admit, but I have probably read, like – 1.5 books in the past decade because I don't have time.
Yeah.
If I'm not playing drums, I'm working or sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and it shows because you're dedicated to your craft and you're great, really
Thank
great
you.
Player. Yeah, no,
Thank
for
you.
Real. It's awesome so to watch you play and it's awesome to see you teach and then see you reap the rewards of that and see your students play.
Yeah,
like it's such an awesome cycle. That's why I love the drum shop is you see every part of it. You see someone walking in, looking around like they're lost. Not knowing anything about drums, getting introduced to it, being like this, that, and they go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And you started out taking lessons at the shop.
Yeah.
And then you went through that whole process. I mean, we're always students, but you went through that process of getting started, buying a drum set for someone else.
Yeah.
It ended up becoming yours and became a teacher. And then it's just really cool. It's just really cool. It's just really cool to see the whole process of it.
Yeah. That's why I love this place so much.
There's nothing.
It's a big source of joy.
The energy is good.
It is.
The energy is good, and it's awesome when you become part of that energy because you will contribute towards it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You definitely do. So let's talk about your drums real quick because I am just
– Sure. Let's talk about
love,
my drums.
I love your drums.
Okay, so the reason that Adam loves my drums is because I only buy his stuff, his used stuff.
Okay, you have one drum set.
I have two of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I guess I talk about
But the other one was because...
Of you.
It's the same drum set in a different finish.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know that much about gear. I rely on you guys to tell me what to do. So I just sort of, you know, whatever you recommend, I'm like, sure, that sounds good. So Adam gets a drum kit. I'm like, I'll take the same one in a different color. And then he goes to sell his, and I'm like, I'll take it.
I'll take that one, too. I'll take both.
And now you have that. Which white?
I have a Mapex Saturn kit right now.
Okay, but it's white.
It's a white. Yeah. Yes.
That's my next drum kit.
A white Oyster.
That's the one I want.
Finish is really cool looking. Yeah.
You let me borrow it.
Well, that means I need to buy a new drum set. I think you're officially publicly giving me permission to buy something new.
Yes.
No, I just wanted to touch on that because it's absurd.
It's funny.
I just like, you know, when I laugh a little bit at a joke, I just like to go on and on and on. And then after I've said it 7-8 times, I start to explain what I'm doing.
Why it's funny.
And then while I'm explaining, I'm explaining that I'm explaining.
Yes.
All right, let's break the loop. Is there anything you'd like to say I'm not going to use a stupid phrase, older people that are getting into drums, because adults. And I'm not referencing you, by the way. You have students that are like in their 70s.
Yeah.
And what's that like? And what would you say to people that are thinking about it? Because it's definitely a different approach.
Yeah. I would say if there's anything an adult is thinking about doing, trying, be it drums or anything else, like, just do it, because you have no idea what's going to happen. I didn't expect this. I didn't think I had time to take drum lessons for half an hour once a week. And suddenly it's become this huge part of my life that I can't imagine not having. I don't know what I'd be doing with myself. It's so much fun. So you just don't know what's going to happen. If I could have looked forward and someone would have told me I'd be sitting here, that anyone would care what I had to say.
Right.
So as an adult, just you should try things that you've always wanted to do. Whenever someone says to me, "I've always wanted to do that," I'm like, "Just do it now. Just
do it right now." Yeah. Exactly.
And maybe nothing will come from it, but maybe you'll do amazing things that you had no idea you
Right, and
do.
It might become your new favorite thing, and it'll lead you in a relationship to someone else, and something else goes on. But I just know that there's some of your students are very into it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm trying to figure out, like, I wonder if I should have them on the show. Maybe we'll have them on the show at some point to be like, not just reaffirm what you're saying, but to give their side of it. You know what I mean? Like picking up the drums in your 70s.
Right.
You know, it's a common thing that happens here.
Yeah.
And it's awesome every time it does. And they're like the most psyched. They're like students coming in, you know, of that age bracket are more excited than little kids starting out sometimes.
They are.
It's amazing.
Because
and it's a lot of fun.
You just didn't ever think you would do something like that. I think as you get older, you don't think you're going to find. I think I didn't realize you could find joy like you did when you were a kid. Like, you know, when you're learning how to do something new when you're a kid and you love it so much. That's how drums felt. And I was just surprised to be an adult and still feel that. I thought it was a kid feeling.
Right.
But it's not. You can still be happy.
Yes.
And learn new things.
Yeah.
Even when you're old.
Even when you're old. And by the way, if you feel old, you're not old.
No.
I feel like, no. Yeah. I feel like that's just, you're just, I don't know. If you feel old, you're dead. Or no.
No.
If, I said that wrong. I said that wrong. I take it back.
Okay. Take it
back. I feel that back. No one should ever feel old.
Right.
Until they're dead. That's my idea. Like always be searching that childlike interest and enjoyment into things. So we covered a lot of things.
Yeah.
We don't have a format for this.
Okay.
But I feel like we've provided value to people of some sort. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? I will mention, we'll link it. Because we can link things. We will link the shop talk session you did.
Okay.
We had events back in August of 20. Was that 22? Yes. August of 22. We had shop talk sessions here where we had conversations kind of like this, except in a larger format with like an audience that could ask questions during it and that kind of thing.
Right.
You did an awesome job. I was editing it. I will put that up shortly, I think within the next couple of days when we're recording this.
Okay.
So by the time people see this, that should either be up or will be up in a couple of days or something. A lot of great information in that, a little bit of crossover, but it was just an awesome event and you brought the spirit in the room up. So
thanks. That was
fun. Thanks for doing that. Yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Anytime. At this point, normally we will be handing you some merchandise from the Drum Key podcast. However, I don't have it yet.
There's merchandise? Like
there will be. Well, you're going to have to wait.
Yet.
Well,
yet?
That's a good point. No, I have some ideas. Okay. We'll talk about ideas because you're definitely more inclined into fashion than I am. So you will be getting handed your cheetah print drum key.
Yay.
No, I don't know what it's going to be. Okay. That just seems Christy like.
Yes,
but we will be giving you merch.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
I will I guess I will sign off. Thank you for joining us at Drum Key. If you want to contribute to the show, again, there is going to be a link below to contribute to our Discord channel where you can post your ideas for different segments, that sort of thing. And then also, of course, like subscribe, that thing that people say. I don't really want to start saying that, but I might. I might become a sucker to the system. Drop a like. But definitely comment below what you liked about this podcast, what you didn't like, what you'd like to see, any recommendations, requests. But that's that. Support your local drum shop. If you don't have one, we'd be happy to adopt you, but definitely shop local if you can. See you next time.